Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Hello and welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. I'm your guest host for today, Kyle Scheindler, filling in for the great Frank Gaffney, who is off tonight. And to get started, I'd like to talk about this really amazing news that has broken regarding the possibility of a Trump-Kim Jong-un summit to discuss North Korean nuclear weapons. And there is no one better to talk about that with than the great Gordon Chang. He is author of The Coming Collapse of China and The Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, two excellent works in the Asia field. Gordon, thanks for joining us. We're glad that you're here to help us out.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Kyle.
So first of all, can you walk us through sort of how this news broke and how the decision was made? Because it was a little bit strange.
It certainly was. The decision was announced Thursday evening by the South Korean delegation, which included Chung Yi-yong, who is the National Security Advisor. It was made after Chung met with President Trump, and President Trump on the spot accepted an invitation conveyed by Chung to meet. Chung had met Kim Jong-un earlier in the week in Pyongyang, and this is certainly a stunning development, not only because of the tension between the United States and South Korea, but because there was so little preparation for this. This was President Trump impulsively making a decision, but I think it was the correct decision. And the reason why it's correct, regardless, you know, I don't trust the North Koreans, nobody does, but obviously President Moon Jae-in of South Korea wanted this summit to occur between Trump and Kim. And the most important thing for the United States at this moment is to make sure that the alliance with South Korea remains strong, because the overriding reality is that the United States and South Korea together are much more powerful than the countries on the other side, North Korea and China. And as long as we stay together, we will always have acceptable outcomes and maybe even good ones. But the important point here is to maintain the alliance.
I think that's a really good point, Gordon, and it goes to my next question, which is that a lot hinges on the willingness of Kim to give up his program or to denuclearize, and that is supposedly the claim that the South Koreans delivered, that Kim had put this on the table. But the only source we really have for that is the South Koreans themselves, and we know that the South Koreans desperately want to have this conversation. Is there a possibility that the South Koreans are setting Donald Trump up, and that when he gets to the table, it's going to be a very different conversation than what he was promised?
Yeah, the South Koreans could certainly be blowing smoke. President Moon has an incentive, a political one, to exaggerate Kim Jong-un's willingness. But the news that we got from Chung was that Kim had committed himself to denuclearization. That meets a key U.S. demand. I don't think, nobody thinks that Kim really believes that. But in a certain sense, it almost doesn't matter, because President Trump is doing the right thing, and that is not reducing sanctions pressure in anticipation of this meeting. We need to keep the sanctions on, because the most important thing right now is to cut off money flows to North Korea. And because of that, I think that we are seeing some signs that the regime is running out of money. South Koreans are saying that the North will run out of foreign currency reserves by October. Also, the Chinese are saying that office number 39, which is the Kim family slush fund, is really low on cash as well. So, you know, you have a very interesting situation where the Kims need to talk to the rest of the world to get sanctions relief, President Trump needs to make sure the rest of the world doesn't give him money.
Of course, we've seen with other situations, and I'm thinking here specifically of the Iran deal, where all the talk was that the Iranians were also very badly hurting under sanctions, and therefore they needed some way to have sanctions lifted, only to have what turned out to be, of course, a completely disastrous deal. How does Donald Trump make sure that he doesn't have a repeat of the Iran deal?
Well, I think the Iran deal, the problem was that you had an American president who desperately wanted an agreement and who was willing to push the Europeans in that direction. I don't think that President Trump is desperate for a deal. And we have the sanctions on. We have a lot of friends. You know, it's just a question of the president. I mean, what's his instinct? What's his how good of a negotiator is he? You know, the North Koreans are terribly good negotiators. They've obviously planned this out for quite some time, but they haven't met somebody like Donald Trump. I think that the North Koreans, assuming the South Koreans say is true, I think that Kim Jong-un wanted to drive a wedge between Seoul and Washington. Trump's instinct on the spot was not to let that happen. That's really good. You know, we have had in past administrations, Republicans and Democrats, he had months, years of interagency discussions, studies, reports, deliberations, and the outcome of all that was really bad policy. You know, Donald Trump takes 45 minutes, according to the New York Times, and comes out with the right decision. So I have some confidence that the president will not make at least major mistakes going forward.
Well, I think that's a really good point, Gordon Chang. And also, it was part of the establishment reaction to this event was to howl in horror to say, you know, we saw Wendy Sherman, for example, who knows a thing or two about failed negotiations with North Korea, say, you know, you can't go into these negotiations without this kind of preparation and so on and so forth. So they really reacted very negatively to the instinctual Trump response. But as you point out, you know, Trump is a longtime businessman and he's gone with his gut before and won. So as he walks into these negotiations with the Kims, is there sort of a maximal position we should expect? Should Donald Trump go for broke? And what is the red line? What are the red lines?
Yeah, the initial preparation item is that the United States should increase sanctions on North Korea during these talks to give the North Koreans an incentive to actually do the right thing. Our position should be not only the complete abandonment of their nuclear weapons and ballistic missile programs, but also it's got to be verifiable. We've got to have anytime, anywhere inspections so that we can make sure that the North Koreans will honor the deal. North Koreans will never honor a deal. You have to make sure that they have no choice but to do the right thing, and that is involved having a lot of people running around North Korea looking in every building and under every leaf to make sure there are no hidden facilities.
And we have every reason to believe that those hidden facilities already exist, right? So we're looking for hidden facilities we know are already there.
Well, yes. And to just give you a stark example, in Yongbin, which is their nuclear city, we knew, of course, about their plutonium reactor and their only plutonium-producing reactor. We didn't know until the North Koreans showed us that right next door they had a facility to enrich uranium. This completely took us by surprise. And remember, this is in one of the most heavily inspected areas on Earth. So you imagine the rest of North Korea, you know, who knows what where they are, but we can be pretty sure that they're enriching uranium in a number of other locations that have not been disclosed.
And of course, if we're talking about having large numbers of inspectors and intelligence people in North Korea keeping their eyes out for all these possibilities of the Kim family cheating at nuclear denuclearization, that's obviously going to rub the Chinese the wrong way, correct? How are they likely to respond?
Well, to a certain extent, I don't care how they respond. The U.S. has overwhelming leverage over China. What we have not had in past administrations is the willingness to use that power to achieve important ends, including protecting the American people. So if Beijing gets upset, you know, that seems to me to be not a big deal for us.
This is a real positive. It sounds like Donald Trump will be walking into these negotiations with a strong hand to play.
Yes, well, he certainly has a strong hand to play. Now, we know that American presidents have made every mistake in the book when it comes to North Korea. But I generally trust the president's instincts. And remember, you know, if for some reason he decides he wants a bad deal, we're going to have a lot of people, including you and Frank Gaffney, make sure that there's enough pressure that he doesn't do this.
And we will certainly be here to do that. Gordon Chang, thank you so much for your time. We will be right back here on Secure Freedom Radio.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.